Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. President Obama announced today that the U.S. will keep its current level of 9,800 troops in Afghanistan through the end of the year. Andrew Tweedy has the story.
The president had previously planned on cutting military presence in half by the end of this year and completely withdrawing by the end of next year. However, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has recently requested the U.S. delay its troop withdrawal plan. Even with the delay, Obama insisted his original timeline of bringing all troops home by the end of 2016 is still in place. Public opinion on the issue is varied. Marine veteran and Loyola Marymount University student Michael Himes didn't fight in Afghanistan himself, but believes troops should stay in the Middle East until the region is stable.
I have a lot of friends that served in Iraq, and their opinion when we pulled out of Iraq and then seeing ISIS rise again, there was a lot of heartache in terms of losing places that they had fought for or fought in. To leave would just be admitting that we threw it down the drain.
However, an ABC News and Washington Post poll from December showed 54% of Americans support bringing the troops home, while 43% oppose. Andrew Tweedy, Annenberg Radio News.
A group of economic experts and Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti gathered today to discuss the effects of the proposed plan to raise LA's minimum wage to around $15. Garcetti says the increase would help Angelenos achieve a better standard of living.
I think the greatest prosperity in a city is when everybody who works hard can support themselves. That's the American dream, that's the Los Angeles promise, and that's what this proposal is all about.
According to two economic studies, the proposal would greatly outweigh the drawbacks, with one study reporting a job increase of more than 46,000 jobs. However, another report issued by the LA Area Chamber of Commerce concluded that the wage hike could actually kill up to 140,000 new jobs in the area. The City Council's Economic Development Committee will discuss the studies at other public hearings over the next month. There's more congestion on LA's toll roads, but will that signal a toll increase? Taylor Villanueva reports.
Toll roads on the 110 freeway are seeing more cars during morning rush hours, and metro officials are experimenting with how to reduce that traffic. But some drivers are concerned that more cars on the road will lead to rising toll costs. Currently, toll charges range from 25 cents to $1.40 per mile. But metro officials want to ease concern of commuters.
There's no real plan to raise the toll level past what it's already positioned at.
That was Metro Communications Manager Rick Yeager. He says that officials will wait until fall 2015 to determine if they think increasing tolls will reduce traffic. One of the changes Metro plans to make now is limiting toll roads to carpool vehicles only during high traffic hours from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Yeager says the company's first step will be to limit toll lanes to carpoolers only. I'm Taylor Villanueva for Annenberg Radio News.
Fresh and Easy has announced that it will be closing 30 of its stores in Southern California. Customers who shop at the Central and Adams location in South Los Angeles are concerned they will have a hard time finding fresh produce nearby.
The fact that it's closing in 30 different locations is going to be difficult for me because I will have to travel further to get my food for my everyday meals.
I'm really disappointed that they're closing because they have such great customer service, and yeah, it's a really big letdown.
Other shoppers say small convenience stores in the neighborhood significantly mark up the prices of fresh produce. Consequently, South LA residents are forced to shop further out. The Fresh and Easy on Figueroa and Jefferson near USC campus will remain open. School teachers are boycotting faculty meetings today in LA. They're hoping to push the Los Angeles Unified School District to pay them higher wages. Ben Ebert has more on the story.
Teachers gathered outside schools to make a statement about the stalled wage negotiations between United Teachers Los Angeles and the LAUSD Board. Superintendent Ramon Cortinas called the boycott irresponsible and said teachers participating will not be paid for work time missed. The boycott is part of what UTLA calls its escalating actions, which concerns LAUSD Communications Director Thomas Waldman.
He's described the boycott as an escalating action. The question is escalating to what? And the sense is here, and I think also really with the union, that the final escalation would be calling a strike.
UTLA is demanding an 8.5% pay increase, which the district has refused to meet. The LAUSD board also approved the issuance of over 600 layoff notices just a few weeks ago. UTLA dismissed it as only a scare tactic and says teachers plan to boycott more faculty meetings in April if an agreement is not made. Ben Ebert, Annenberg Radio News.
The California Faculty Association criticized the Cal State system's staffing priorities in a report released today. The Union of Cal State Faculty says salaries for managers and supervisors rose far more quickly than professors. Lauren Day reports.
According to the report, the Cal State University system has been increasing its spending on those at the top by 48%, while the budget on teachers increased by 25%. Lillian Taze, the president of the CFA Board of Directors, says the California State University system is not paying teachers enough to live a middle-class life.
It turns out that even with all of this education, they're being denied either access to the middle class or they're being pushed out of the middle class.
Taze believes this all started when Cal State universities began operating like large corporations and paying the leaders of these universities like CEOs. The California Faculty Association hopes there will be a more equal distribution of funding in the future in order to increase aid for teachers and students. I'm Lauren Day for Annenberg Radio News.
Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger called on Congress today to maintain funding for after-school programs. He appeared in the National After-School Summit held at USC. Congress is considering over $1 billion in cuts, leaving 1.5 million students at risk. The former governor said that spells a grim future.
Just look at the numbers, and you will see that it pays off to have after-school programs.
Currently, a proposal in the House would eliminate 69 after-school programs in favor of grants that let states decide how to use the funds. The L.A. City Council decided today to dedicate this week to the legacy of Archbishop Oscar Romero. As Sarah Windham reports, the words of the El Salvadorian martyr echo back on the 35th anniversary of his assassination.
Como cristiano, no creo en la muerte. As a Christian, I do not believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will rise in the Salvadoran people.
Carlos Vaccarano spoke Archbishop Romero's prophetic words in City Hall today. Vaccarano is the executive director of the Salvadorian American Leadership and Educational Fund. Christine Montreal is an eighth grader at Monsignor Oscar Romero Charter School and finds inspiration in Romero's words.
Aspiring not to have more, but to be more.
Romero was Archbishop of San Salvador from 1977 until he was assassinated in 1980. He is known as an advocate for the poor who bravely stood up to a repressive government. His legacy also inspires the work of Clinica Monsignor Oscar A. Romero. The clinic treats around 500 patients every day, regardless of their legal status or ability to pay. Sandra Rosado is the executive director of Clinica Romero.
We continue to be here for the community and follow his footprints, and we hope that our legacy and his vision will continue.
Pope Francis has ensured that Romero's legacy will live on by nominating him for sainthood. This is Sarah Windham for Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Jason Cheng with today's Root Source.
Ever been told to act naturally? To appear invisible? That you're pretty ugly? These commonly abused phrases are all oxymorons, or contradicting terms placed together, and they are seriously funny. Oxymoron stems from the combination of two Greek words, oxys meaning sharp and moros meaning foolish. Given that the original word itself was an oxymoron, it makes sense to be clearly confused. But that hasn't stopped people from using them. Simon and Garfunkel made an oxymoron the subject of this hit song.
Within the sound of silence.
And America's beloved Jay Gatsby lived for contradictions.
Jay, you can't repeat the past.
Why, of course you can.
Whether or not oxymorons make sense doesn't really matter. After all, they're awfully good.
Shireen Marisol Meraji reports for NPR's Code Switch, a program on race, ethnicity, and popular culture. I spoke with Meraji about her process and passion for portraying minorities in a way that stands out from most media coverage.
One of the most recent stories I listened to of yours, which is the Black Summit, your opening lead about snowflakes.
We all know the old adage, every snowflake is different, except for one thing.
They're all white. And so are a majority.
So I was typing that line. And when I write, I talk out loud. And everyone was like, what? That's awesome. Are you going to say that in your story? And I was like, well, can I say that in my story? And I talked to one of the editors and she's like, yes, you can say that. You should say that.
I kind of get this vibe that how you guys sort of put things together, work together at Code Switch is you're having these conversations where
exactly.
Is it okay to say this? What's PC? What's diplomatic? And
so many of our stories come about is just we're chopping it up about something that we read or why do people say every snowflake is different? Because they're not all different. Or we have these random conversations that turn into stories.
The skiing and, you know, black people skiing, it's something that you don't think of. It's almost like the stereotype of black people don't swim. But I feel like Code Switch is highlighting the other, but also bringing up how there's this sameness and this commonality.
You know, to be perfectly honest, that story, I was like, who's going to care about this? So when I got out there and I was in Aspen before the National Brotherhood of Skiers came in, I was like, wow, this is the whitest place I have ever seen. Shockingly white and shockingly wealthy. I mean, it is the 1% to the extreme. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, wow. And then the next day, there were 2,000 African Americans out in Aspen. And I was like, this is a story. And there is a way to tell this story. And it isn't just, oh, look, black people ski.
Another story that it was a while ago, but you did one about Juan Pablo, the first ethnic bachelor. But someone you interviewed in that piece said something interesting, which is the way we are treated is a product of how we're perceived.
I feel like if you go, not Code Switch, but a lot of the stories that we do about people of color have to do with like really hard-hitting issues like immigration or child poverty, these issues which paint a picture of people of color as poor, needy, uneducated, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on and on. And actually, no, there are African-American middle-class people who go to Aspen and ski, and we never talk about them. Why don't we ever talk about them? I think about that a lot, especially when I'm pitching stories like this, because I know people are going to be like, well, who cares? Like, why do we care about that? But I think these are important stories, yeah, too. I mean, they paint a full picture of what it means to be a person of color living in the United States. It's not all we're in struggling schools and we're poor. That's part of it. You know, we're just doing regular things like going skiing.
That's what's so interesting to me about the Bachelor piece. On the surface, it's this sort of like fluffy, melodramatic TV show, but the power that it could have to see someone of color fall in love on TV and be just like you and just like me, and it's not always about struggle and poverty. That sort of level of representation that's missing.
Why isn't there more of that? Why isn't there more of that?
It's frustrating.
I don't get it. I wish I had the answer.
Shake your fist.
I think there's not more of that because we're not in positions of power when it comes to the networks, the main networks. We just are not in the executive suite.
No, like,
well, Shonda Rhimes has figured it out,
yeah,
which is just do stories that we all love, stories about passion and love and intrigue and sex and death and murder, and then just put brown people in there.
Yeah, it's in a way, I mean, it's sort of like normalizing otherness.
Also, are we just not running into each other enough in the world? Are we like resegregating or something so that only white people interact with other white people and only brown people are interacting with brown people? I'm just trying to understand why this is happening. I mean, the people in the executive suite, they must just see other white people and live in neighborhoods with only white people. So that is their reality.
So one last question for you. When you go to the movies, when you're watching the news or watching television, what do you want to see?
I always want a compelling story. And I want a satisfying ending to that compelling story. I just want to leave feeling full. And of course, I want to see people that look like me and people who sound like me. But number one, I want a compelling story and I want the story to be well told. So that's what I'm looking for.
You can hear the full conversation on ARN's interview podcast, Match Volume. That's it for today. We had help today from Leslie Noy and Denise Guerra. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Holly Thompson is... For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.